This is Dusty and Cam in the morning.
When I say, should we bring our swimsuits? You say, well, yeah, weather permitting.
With Dusty Hera.
I didn't get into college, and check me out. I'm kick ass.
And Cam Cleland.
I almost joined a frat in college myself, but they tried to make me chug a 40.
Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
Put my nuts on the table, and then I did the damn thing.
Good morning. Happy March. The 1st of March. The Madness Month.
1st of March.
Yeah.
1st of March.
Does that confuse you?
It does.
Is that hard?
I feel like it got here very quickly.
Was it hard?
It got here very quickly. The 28th happened, and then boom, there it is. March 1st.
Yeah.
I feel like a green beer mood when I get to March.
Oh.
Is there a reason why I feel like a green beer?
Yeah, because it's St. Patrick's Day. That's what everybody does.
I'd like some... I guess I would like some, what do we always eat? Dang it. Corned beef and hash.
Yeah.
But it's something else. Oh, it's my black and tans. It came to me very quickly, slowly.
Wow.
It was a slow burn.
All right.
It's in the morning.
It's going to go Irish car bombs.
I love a black and
bangers
tan.
And mash.
One time a year where everybody's a Guinness fan.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Guinness. Number one on my list.
You know, people.
Your number one beer?
Number one
people
beer.
People always try to say, oh, I don't like Guinness. It's so thick and heavy. And if they say that, they don't know jack squat about beer.
They about
know
thick and heavy
nothing.
Beer.
They know nothing
it
about
is very
beer.
Light.
Guinness is so light, and it's lighter in calories than Coors Light, if I believe.
No carbonation either.
Yeah.
Right?
It
is the best drinking beer I've ever had in my life.
Yeah. Very light. Very
I know. Personal choice. Yeah. Personal choice.
To each his own.
To each. That's what I say. To each his own. All you hoppy IPA people.
Oh, I hate hoppy
when the
beer.
Hop hits your mouth, it feels like I'm like the pucker guy. Remember the pucker guy from the commercials?
The bitter beer face?
That's exactly what I feel like every time an IPA hits my mouth. It's terrible.
You know what's funny is that Keystone Light was the bitter beer face guy. It's like, of all the beers to be like, our beer tastes the best.
That's exactly what IPAs taste.
What?
Boy, with just a beautiful stout with a nice harp on the bottom, a clean line between the two. There's nothing better than a classic black and tan.
Actually, it's not harp on the bottom. It's Bass Ale on the bottom.
Well, Bass. You can put harp, too.
Yeah. No, but the classic black and tan is with Bass.
Yours very true. A little bit of both. And it takes a stout hand to be able to pour smoothly with a good... I use a big wooden spoon.
Mm-hmm.
A large wooden spoon.
We just would basically use... Because I bartended for like 12 years.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, we would just would use... We'd take like the soup spoon, basically, and bend that sucker backwards.
And let it just roll over.
Yep.
Correct?
Yep.
Yeah. It takes a good hand. So happy... St. Patty's Day coming soon.
It's 16 days away.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good basketball month, though. Yeah. Start caring about college basketball because it's March.
Yes, that's what we're trying to do. Across to you.
Yes, and that is
we're going to push it on you.
That's the important thing.
We're like drug dealers. We push. We push sports on you.
Whoa. Okay.
With sports drug.
Yeah.
Sports a drug. What if I'm going to get? I'm going to be drugged with sports.
You know what? You know what? This show is just a taste.
We're pushers.
We're going to get you hooked.
Mm-hmm. These are all good things. Nothing wrong with that.
Drugs aren't good things.
No. Sports,
drugs
are.
Danny? Every day.
Every day. Sports good. Drugs are good.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
They're distracting.
Dang it.
You love them.
It's March Madness time, though. I can't wait for the tournament to start. Mm. Well, yeah, I can.
Mm.
I really can.
Mm.
We still have Combine. Does it still seem early that the Combine's going on?
Mm. Don't got a lot for that.
You know? Like, it's like the NFL is, they took like 2 weeks off. And then, hey, we're back.
Hey, we're back. Free agency, guys are getting cut. Glennon's getting cut. He was due $56 million. Nope, he's gone.
I'm seeing draft Knicks tweeting out all of these other things about, measurements. Did you see that Sam Darnold's hands?
Were.
9 3/8.
It's a good size.
It's a good size hand. And then Tyrell Crosby, the Duck, yesterday, they were impressed with his wingspan and his hands.
Wingspan.
His hands, what were your hands?
We needed a measure. I think I was 10 and 3/4, somewhere around there. Almost 11. I think I was something like that, if I remember measuring
banana
right.
Banana hands over there.
I have big hands. I was able to palm a basketball when I was 8.
Let's see here. What?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah. Big hands. My dad's got big me hooks, too.
Tyrell Crosby. 10 6/8 of an inch,
so
his hands.
I'm right around him. We were about the same size.
And then his arms are 35 2/8 inches.
Is that long?
3 feet arms? My God. And his wingspan is 83 2/8 of an inch. That is ridiculous.
Hey, measurements. Measurements make you play good football.
But everybody's like, that's going to be what gets these guys drafted. No.
Hey, good morning, jogger guy.
I can't wait. Hey.
There he is.
I can't wait to see how tall Baker Mayfield is. Isn't that what we're waiting on?
6'5", 10¾.
Yo, 5'10¾.
I'm going to get, I think he's 5'11. Is he 5'11 or is he 6 foot? 6'0", 0'2.
Since they go in eighths of an inch, I'm going to go 6'1⅛".
You think he's 6'1"?
No, 6'1⅛". Oh, so my bad. Inch.
1/8 inch.
Yeah, 6 feet.
That's a tongue twister, Dusty.
Space, 1/8 inch. Yeah, because it's got to be the weird measurement, you know?
No. But they really do. They go 6'043".
How dumb is
0.25.
That? Nobody cares.
Nobody cares. That's what I was, 6'0435.
Ooh.
I rounded up. I was 6'5", and they were squishing my neck down. He was totally pushing my head down. I've been 6'5 since I was 14.
Sounds like
they found
excuse.
Reasons to make you shorter.
You shrunk.
Like, the guy's going to go this. We need to make sure he is 6'4 and 1/4 short of 6'5", because that is the reason we're not going to draft you.
Haven't you ever heard? Football's a game of inches, dude.
It is.
Game of inches, man.
She said.
Unfortunately, I was just like she said yesterday. Inch.
No, inches, plural.
No.
Plural.
She said inch. Today in sports history, 1997, our television viewing of sports changed forever as ESPN 2 unveiled the bottom line. Now every sports channel has it. The little informational bottom line that gives you scores and news.
Scrolling bar?
That, honestly, could you imagine watching a sports event without that going on now?
Can I tell you, I had the sports ESPN pager when it first came out in 1994.
Oh, you're the guy that bought that.
I bought that only for scores. I couldn't watch SportsCenter all the time. I needed my pager.
That's right.
My on the hip, and there was announcements of pagers. It was wonderful to get my sports updates.
You couldn't even get like pages on it. It was just scores.
No,
it?
I could. You could get paid. It was a pager.
Really?
It was an official pager.
Oh,
then
man.
I upgraded to the watch, I think, the next 2 years.
Do you remember the...
I love that sports pager. That was awesome.
Do you remember the Nextel two-way phone? Remember when those were a thing?
Yeah.
You guys made a walkie-talkie. Congratulations.
Never bought one. Couldn't stand it. Push to talk, huh? It's called dialing. Hey, I got a 40-mile walkie-talkie.
Somebody sat in a room and was like, well, we have cell phone technology where you can just call a person. Why don't we just limit that so you can only talk to one person?
What, weren't you around people?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, great. Thank you.
I had a buddy that was like, hey, do you want to get a two-way phone? I'm like, no. I want...
That's what you did with your neighbor when you were kids. You left it on your bed.
Walkie-talkies,
you talked to your buddies.
Yeah.
Your walkie-talkies.
Yeah. But this is like, no, I don't want a two-way. I want a phone orgy. I want everybody to be able to be involved in it, you know? I don't want just one person to talk to. Oh, we have an update to Felix Hernandez's status coming up in a short moment. But on today's show, John Gruden says he's taking it old school. What is old school now in football? James Harden, if he were a baseball player, would get one in the ear hole. NFL Combine update, what the coaches are saying. And Adam Silver takes a stance to the teams in the NBA. Does it really matter, though? All that and more. On today's show.
Time to wake up.
Here's your Felix Hernandez update. Jerry DePoto, GM of the Mariners, said he's only going to miss one spring training start. He took a line drive off the forearm. He's going to be okay. He's fine.
Yeah, he got hit in the forearm.
That was a scary one, though. Yeah, you take a line drive off the forearm of your pitching arm?
Yeah, I know. It's a little scary.
It's coming back at like 100 miles an hour.
Yeah.
I mean... You don't think that you didn't go, ooh. That
no,
could be
I
bad.
Watched it. It was bad. I mean,
especially
this is,
when he goes like all limp wristed and walked off holding it.
Yeah.
Like he broke it.
Yeah, it hurt.
Yeah, that could be a really long injury.
Yeah, that's
but
good.
Not.
No, it is. It is good news for Felix.
Yeah. So could be worse. You could be the Mets.
Baseball guy's tough.
Did you hear the Mets injury report already?
Yeah, well, no,
it's got
I didn't.
Jacob DeGrom, Jonas Cespedes, and Tim Tebow already on the injury report.
Old.
Tim Tebow rolled his ankle on a sprinkler head.
Yeah, he did.
And now people are comparing him to Mickey Mantle.
No.
Because that's what Mickey Mantle did. Towards
sprinkler
ACL.
Heads?
Yeah, towards ACL.
Oh, he did. That's right.
I'm going to go ahead and guess that when Mickey Mantle did it, though, he was loaded.
He was playing bait. Well,
I'm going to guess
that was 100 out of 100. Correct, sir.
You're probably right, Rust. That's a very good point.
Wasn't he loaded all the time?
Yeah.
Hey, wake up.
I think he was.
He was always loaded.
I think he was sufficiently pickled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. The University of Arizona's Board of Regents will meet today to discuss the future of Sean Miller as head basketball coach in Tucson. Though ESPN was reporting action on his status will occur at a later meeting. They are going to gather the facts. They've been in talks and seen what they're going to do with Sean Miller, who's been sidelined since Friday's report of a $100,000 payment to DeAndre Ayton being lined up in a FBI wiretap recording.
Oh, yeah.
So Sean Miller, he will soon know his status as head coach of Arizona.
Does Arizona fire him quickly?
No.
No?
Not yet. Not yet.
Just cause.
Well,
either way,
just cause they pay
him. He's getting paid.
Yes, he is.
Making all that salary.
I don't think they do it right now because the FBI still hasn't said anything, you know?
He's going to walk away with more money if he gets fired with cause than with no cause.
Yeah.
That's so true. Yeah. Well done on his agent.
There are reports kind of refuting that, but they'd have to go through the legal process to recoup that money, but they think they would be able to do it. But yeah, the nuts and bolts of his contract are, hey, we'll give you this much if we fire you with cause.
I think it was basically twice as much.
My gosh.
That's brilliant. That's called leverage.
He's a
a hell of an agent right there.
He's the fourth or fifth highest paid coach in college basketball.
Yeah, and Coach K, $8.97 million is what he makes.
He goes like Coach K, Izzo, and then the guy
Calipari.
From Ohio State.
Oh, is it? I thought it was Calipari was three.
Yeah, it might be. And then that guy from Ohio State is awkwardly high on that list.
Good morning, Vietnam! Hey, this is not a test. This is rock and roll. Hey, is it a little too early for being that loud? Hey, too late. It's 0600. What's the O stand for? Oh, my God, it's early.
Wake the f*** up!
All right, in the NBA, the New Orleans Pelicans' red-hot play continued last night with a 121-116 win in San Antonio. Meaning New Orleans remains tied with the Blazers and now the Thunder for the 5 seed in the West. And the three teams are now just a half game back of the Spurs for the 4 seed. Wow.
It's getting tight. Pants are tight.
Yeah.
The race is tight.
You know what else is going to...
It's tight like jeans nowadays.
What's going to play a role in this bad boy?
Injuries.
Yes.
This is Dusty and Cam in the morning on 1080 The Fan.
Well, we know that the Rockets and the Clippers, the last time Houston went to L.A., they had beef. Remember the locker room visit that the Rockets gave Los Angeles where Trevor Ariza, CP3, and James Harden bullied their way through the secret entrance?
Mm-hmm.
And guys were suspended for a game, and it was a big hubbubaloo. The cops were called. Well, last night, they played each other again in L.A., and there was a crime to commit or to report.
Harden one-on-one here. Yeah, James doubling up the Clippers. Clean up on aisle three. Clean up on aisle three. Someone call someone because there's a clean up on aisle three as a man is down.
How does it look from court angle? Oh no. Oh no. Oh no, that's not good. That is just not good. Here it is from up top. Ouch. Count it.
Oh, all right. Boy.
Cam is not impressed.
That call right there. Craig Ackerman on the call on AT&T Sportsnet, the home of the Rockets.
So wait. So hold the phone here, Mr.
Clean up on aisle three. Clean up on aisle three.
Craig Ackerman. This is the same Craig Ackerman that I think that when not too long ago when James Harden, what did he have, his 60-point night or something like that? And he said, this is the greatest performance, better than anything I've ever seen. Isn't it the same guy? Or was that the TV guy?
I don't know.
Either way.
I don't remember. That is the TV guy.
The ball juggling of Mr. Harden.
Whoa.
Ball juggling.
Yeah. Okay.
Bouncing
yeah.
the basketballs, uh-huh. ball juggling ability that he has.
Oh.
I didn't say that. That part.
My God.
There's a little bit different between making the call and listening. Sorry, I've lost my train. I'm laughing at my own self. Is that good when you kind of laugh at your own self? Yeah, a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
That was That call was something, right?
No,
there.
It was fair. I wasn't as impressed with the move as the world was. I was impressed with, okay, he got his feet tangled up and he tripped. Okay, great. Big deal. Why is that? Help me with this one. I've seen this lately. The ability to make somebody miss has been around for years. Mm-hmm. To make somebody fall down, breaking ankles, we know that. In this scenario, what happened today or last night with James Harden? In that move, it was the way he stared him down, the way he waited, paused, stepped behind the three-point line, and then decided to clean up on aisle three, made it make a three on him. No pun intended there. Uh-huh. Let's put James Harden in a baseball uniform. And I want to see the Dodgers playing the Houston Astros. Uh-huh. Because in my opinion, James Harden would get a 97 to the snot locker today.
Yeah, he would get beaned for sure if this was baseball.
Yeah, yeah, baseball. Baseball rules in basketball. What do you do for basketball
now? Well, you stare him down.
Sweep the leg.
If you stare him down in baseball, you're getting plunked. Mm. Mm-hmm. And he didn't just stare him down. He stopped. That'd be like if somebody hit a home run and then Giancarlo Stanton hits a home run and then takes a couple steps out of the batter's box, watches his ball land, and then looks at the pitcher.
I give you a gift and you show up my pitcher?
And then you just jog around the bases.
Run, dummy, run.
He would get one in the ear hole.
Yeah.
And that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Now, here's where it'll be different in this one. That move was pretty good just because Wesley Johnson tried to go and he just jumped too far, got over his feet, and he fell down.
He tripped.
The only one that I can remember, do you remember? I can't even remember who did the move. Do you remember Jeff McGinnis when he was at North Carolina? He had one of those plays that was on, it was on ESPN, the game was, I remember, and he got crossed over and he did the exact same thing. Like he fell over, rear over tea kettle there, and he was done. I will remember that Wesley Johnson fell over.
That was a good one.
I bet you all remember James Harden did it. I don't remember who did the other one to Jeff McGinnis because these things, they were so memorable at the time because it rarely happens. These guys are so good and such great athletes that you never see guys fall over like that.
Yeah, well, it's they're still human beings. They get their feet tied up. The floor's a little sticky. Do you remember the original, what's one of my favorite ones, when Michael Jordan crosses up Tree Rollins and then just hammers on him with a full one-step dunk on him? The guy was huge, and it was just one of those things. He went, all right, this big guy crossed him up. We didn't have the freak out now. And I think it's the Uncle Drew, and it's the street ball stuff, where the fake outs and all the other stuff that the guys are able to do. It's cool. It's great. But I'm just way
that
off.
Play was, that, yeah,
why
I think
is
you're
it ridiculous?
Underselling it.
I'm not underselling it.
You're underselling it. Is a professional that made another professional fall over. Like,
is that, why is that a big deal?
Because these guys are such high level athletes. Like, you know how good of an athlete these guys are. Mm-hmm. And he made another professional fall on his butt because of a crossover.
As many times as Yusuf Nurkic spends on the court and guys fall
flopping
during
is
the
different.
Game.
Flopping
no,
is
I think we flop and fall way too much in this game.
Yeah, but that wasn't a flop. He wasn't trying to sell contact or anything a foul. He was trying to defend James Harden and he fell over.
It's not ridiculous.
It is ridiculous.
No, it's not.
It is.
It's a crossover.
And then he looked
Allen
him down.
Allen Iverson and Tim Hardaway were doing this to guys 25 years ago and 20 years ago, and dudes were looking just as dumb, incredible.
But we still play them on highlight reels.
No, we don't.
Do you remember the killer crossover? Like, the killer crossover was a move that everybody tried to emulate from Tim Hardaway.
All that
man.
James Harden has been doing the push-off and getting away with it now for about 5 years. Michael Jordan didn't in the finals. I know he did.
Yeah.
But is it really that big of a deal?
We still have a meme of, the, like, textures say, Iverson over Tyronn Lue, where
yeah,
he crossed
exactly.
him over, Lue fell down, and Iverson stepped over him. That was like 15 years ago, and we still
play it. You know what's impressive? What Damian Lillard did with his tip dunk the other night, that is a athletic, impressive
sure
move
is.
When a 6'2 guy
I had to
does that in
I
the
like,
trees.
Did you see that?
James Harden just did a step back and a guy got his foot tangled. I'm like, bleh.
But he
and then stared him down and shot a three. Woo!
And that is it right there. It was the ultimate sign of disrespect that he stopped, admired his work, shot it, drilled the three. Hmm. And then celebrated with himself.
Yeah. If James Harden went to the rack at any time, he would get obliterated. So he has to do this. That is his shtick, which is fine. It's a good shtick.
It's a good shtick to have.
It's a good shtick. It's not one of the greatest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It's like, well, okay, you stepped back and you paused and you made a three. Good for you.
Yeah. Yeah, this texture. Remember when Iverson did that to Jordan.
Oh yeah, he double crossed him.
That was
But it was good. But he didn't fall down. But it was a great crossover.
That was old Michael Jordan. That's when you went, all right, time to hang it up, bro.
No, it was 98 Jordan.
Was it?
It was Jordan Bulls. It wasn't Jordan Wizards. He did him against the
really?
Bulls. Yeah, because Allen Iverson's rookie year was 96.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, he shook him hard. Gave him the Bulls shake in 97.
That was a good one. And I think this one is a good one, too. Oh, yeah. I am looking at this right here. I forgot.
Yeah, that's still Michael Jordan of Michael Jordan
who
era.
Who did that to Jordan?
We were talking Wizards Jordan?
No, yeah. Jalen Rose did it to Jordan once, and Jordan wanted to fight him.
Oh.
You remember that?
No.
Yeah, Jordan tried to fight Jalen Rose.
I turned off Wizard Jordan. I pretended that wasn't real.
Oh, man. All right. Well, I like it. And I agree with you. Harden would be getting one in the ear hole. Yeah. And I think he would deserve it too.
Aroldis Chapman right to the chin.
I don't even, that'd kill him.
Not really. We're just buzzing the tower. We're not trying to hit him. We're just buzz the tower.
I don't like James Harden, but I will admit that move was impressive.
I think appreciate his talent. I think he's got an MVP pace going.
Yeah.
Wasn't as impressed with it that the world was.
Well,
but there you go.
And we live in we have to also remember all of those other plays that you mentioned would have been so much more prevalent if every game was televised and it was a national TV game and we had a GIF that we could make of it. Because it hits social media and it becomes that much bigger of a deal.
James Harden would be Dale Ellis in today's game. He couldn't get away with it. The amount of things he gets away with now because there's no hand checking, pushing off, he would be mugged. He'd be Dale Ellis of the Sonics. Just a really good three-point shooter and occasional dribbler. He is not even close to the toughness that you have to be able to play back when those guys did. I know the game has changed.
But don't you think if
And he's taken advantage of it. That's what makes him great now.
Don't you think that if he played, he would be forced to be? He would force.
No,
he'd be
I don't
forced
think,
to be tougher?
Potentially, but I don't know if it's in his demeanor. You know, you can watch a player and see if they like the contact, if they enjoy it.
Yeah.
He does not.
I think Dame
loves the contact. They love the physicality. He's like, don't touch me, bro. He's like a soccer player. He's like, get off me, bro.
Yeah.
At all times.
But, yeah.
It's like inconvenient when you brush up against him.
There's an element of me, though, that thinks, and I agree with you. I'm not disagreeing. But there's an element of me that thinks, I think he would act differently, though, if he was on a, or in an era where you had to play through contact.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he's just taking advantage of a rule that.
Of course he is. I'm like, I'm watching this thing. I'm like, he pushed him off. It's like his shoulder dropped into him.
Nah,
why is that impressive? That's a shoulder drop.
There was a bit of a push.
Because
he was a push off.
He stared him down. He stared him down.
That's impressive to stare at somebody?
No, it's disrespectful.
Oh, you're impressed with his disrespect?
Yeah, I am. I am.
Here we go.
I think that's funny.
Impressive disrespect.
It was the Clippers.
Well,
so, you know.
More hateable?
I mean, like, this isn't 20 years ago.
I mean, I'm just saying, nobody really likes the Clippers.
True.
So,
true.
You know.
Nobody really likes the Rockets either.
There's that as well.
Oh. More hateable, Clippers or Rockets?
Yes.
Can we see? Is that it? All of the above?
I think it's the Rockets now because you don't have CP3 or Blake Griffin on the Clippers anymore.
It might be the Rockets.
Do we just hate DeAndre Jordan? Because that's the only guy left.
Probably.
Poor DeAndre Jordan. He got kidnapped and not to sign with the Mavericks, and then everybody left him. That sucks. John Gruden says he's going to take it old school. What does that mean now? What is old school approach in the modern NFL? 55305, that is a fan text line. Dustin Cam on the Fan.
Let's get texty.
I left a message.
A message? What number did you call?
2-4-9-5-6-7-8.
I can't hear you. You're trailing off. And did I catch a niner in there? Were you calling from a walkie-talkie?
No, it was cordless.
Text us now at 55305. Message and data rates may apply.
Just want to leave my number. Anyway, I think that was weird or desperate.
This is Textual Relations on the show that likes to be over-text. Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080.
The brain of that person to actually say that?
The Fan.
55305, that is the Fan text line. NFL Combine underway in Indianapolis. Coaches taking the podium yesterday. I think half the coaches around the league took to the podium to address the media, and the other half will go today. John Gruden is back. Chucky, the Gruden grinder. Love that guy. This is the perfect John Gruden element right here. He is in his element. He's in his zone here because we know John Gruden loves football. I love this guy. He's a good football guy.
Mm-hmm.
He gets to do everything football all day long. And he is making some headlines because in a world that is shifting towards data and data-driven sports, Gruden gives the not so fast, my friend.
There's a stack of analytical data or data, however you want to say that word, that people don't even know how to read it. It's one thing to have the data or data. It's another thing to know how to read a damn thing. So I'm not going to rely on GPSs and all the modern technology. I will certainly have some people that are professional that can help me from that regard. But I still think doing things the old-fashioned way is a good way. And we're going to try to lean the needle that way a little bit.
Look at that.
Mm-hmm.
John Gruden is saying, I'm going old school here.
Are you talking about the analytics, the GPS, all the modern technology? Man, I'm trying to throw the game back to 1998.
He's saying, I want to rewind the game of football 20 years. What is old school? What is 1998 football in the modern NFL?
Well, first off, I'd like to thank you, Coach Gruden, for taking us back to 1998. As I was a rookie that year, bringing football back to its purity. its purest form.
It was pure there.
Oh, it's very pure. It was very pure. We didn't waste time worrying about electronic playbooks and iPads, and we just went out and played football, hit each other in the head at all times.
Right.
I'm a little bit facetious. Just don't get upset and get outraged.
I'm not.
Because everybody, newsflash, still get hit in the head in football.
Concussions up 16%.
Up 16% because people have said they had concussions, not because they've been diagnosed.
They're actually reporting them now.
Reporting them, realistically. Yeah, 1998 was a good year, so he's throwing it back. He's saying, this is what we're doing. What is old school in football? Everybody wants to use analytics. Technology is great. Mm-hmm. I enjoy tech. I'm a techie. I love technology. I love computers. I like doing the inner workings. I like apps. I like all those cool stuff. It's fun. It's enjoyable. What it's not is, it's not football. Because all these things that help you, you know, the tracking apps or the sensors that are built in the pads, because we got to hear Sean Payton tell us right before, I think it was, who was he? He was traded to from New Orleans and traded to New England.
Brandon Cooks.
Thank you. Was there. It's right there on my tongue. Said, hey, you know what? Brandon Cooks, he's the most traveled player on our team. He has more miles logged than any other player. Well, what does that say? He likes to run. He's a good runner. Plays hard. Doesn't stop. Doesn't have an off button. Good. Does that help him become a better player? Who knows? What's the proof's in the pudding? I know guys that didn't practice at all. Marshall Faulk never practiced. He's a Hall of Famer. Never practiced. Didn't run. Showed up occasionally. Never worked out. Looked like a lawyer. Just, and then Hall of Fame. So do analytics. What is old school? What is old school? What is new school? Because I believe that if you polled 20 people just out on the street that were huge football fans, they would not know the difference between old school and new school. And if I handed an analytic to them, they would go, it's exactly what analytics do. They make you look at things trying to find a reason why something works and why it doesn't work when there really isn't no statistical proof. It just sounds good on paper.
Well, there is statistical proof. I mean, that's why, you know, the two most analytic-driven teams in the league were played in the Super Bowl this past year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you know.
No. Maybe you're misunderstanding the statistical proof. Overall, numbers are numbers. How you prove it is how it translates to wins and losses. Plenty of teams, like Cleveland, were statistical-driven. Everybody uses stats. Stats are what we use. But when the proof is when it turns into wins and losses. You can have statistics up the yin-yang. But do they translate? Because it's not about X's and O's. It always is Jims and Joes.
Well, yeah. And
statistics don't win you games.
But that's what analytics are, the probability that it improves your odds to win.
Sure.
Like Doug Peterson going for it on fourth down. And in those short situations, they use this company, Edge Sports, which tells them, like, it crunches the data. And they have a chart that says if situational, it's basically what we call situational football, it breaks it down into a simple formula
odds.
For them, right?
What you're trying to do is odds.
Yeah, like Bill Belichick going for it. Ernie Adams is Bill Belichick's analytics guy. He does it for their scouting and does it for on-field situational football. And what I do appreciate about what John Gruden is saying is how he led off that first clip with, they got stacks of papers and they don't know how to use it. at least John Gruden is admitting, I don't know how to use it, so I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. I know that what I believe will win football games is discipline. It is execution, and old school football doesn't mean 3 yards in a cloud of dust running the football 50 times a game, because he's a West Coast offense guy. But he knows that there's core principles that you can use to win football games, and I think that is what old school football is I don't know how to use the data. I'm not going to try and act like I do, and I think a lot of coaches kind of get lost in that wave of information, and they don't know how to use it, and it ends up hurting them more than it helps.
So how do you, so if you're one of those people that loves analytics, I don't know if you're out there or anybody, what is the difference for you mentally when someone says old school football compared to supposedly quote unquote the analytical based knowledge and how you run your franchise? Because I do believe that if you base your franchise with a lot of analytics, it will turn you into a Chip Kelly run regime, Cleveland run regime. You still have to have the ability to be able to translate that and say, why is this working? Why isn't it working? Well, because maybe your players are bad.
Mm-hmm.
You shouldn't go on fourth down when you're on your own 40-yard
line. That is where Cleveland got caught up in. They went Moneyball, which was bare bones. We're going to use analytics and cut our
doesn't
payroll.
Work in football.
The way the Eagles did it.
You don't have 162 opportunities to do that.
Yeah, the way the Eagles did it is the smart way, which is, we are going to get talented players, and we're going to throw in our analytical approach to it.
Well, explain. You think the Eagles are locked into this analytics? They're not, man. You got this wrapped up, and they had a ton. And what they were due is they got lucky. What happens in football is when you have a ton of free agents that hit all at one time with your salary cap at a time when it was properly organized. There's a little bit of luck in that, yeah. Because you can't tell me that you had your best wide receiver has a torn labrum and played with it entire year. That has to do with analytics.
No.
There's a lot of luck that goes into how they were with Philadelphia.
So their
starting quarterback blew his ACL mm-hmm. out. It is not analytics.
Well, I'm not saying that.
That helped him win a Super Bowl.
I'm saying decisions that dictated outcomes of games, like the Super Bowl, when Doug Peterson goes for it on fourth down, instead of the conventional wisdom is that you punt it away, right? He did it twice, went for it on fourth down, because the analytical data for that they got from Edge Sports tells them that it gives you a 1% more chance to go for it on fourth down rather than punt it away.
But you believe that Doug Peterson was quoting his analytics in that game?
He has.
In fourth down on inside his do that?
He has quoted it.
I understand that.
I mean, he said it's our data that we got.
Just a second. Just because Doug Peterson says it in the game, he's not holding an analytical stat sheet that says go for it. It has to come from your tempo of the game. It has to come from the feel of where you're at and why you should do it.
That's the data tells him to do it.
That comes from your gut, and that comes from balls. That doesn't come from a sheet in somebody in your ear saying, hey, statistically at this point in time, coach, you should go for it. He's going, man, I like it. Let's do it.
No, he has learned the information. He's taken it in, and so he uses it. He knows.
You and I have two different ways of thought processes in games and how you use information.
Yeah.
I think analytics are used to try to add facets to the game to help you understand it. But in a game scenario, when you're going through that, you got to go with gut. And gut goes with momentum. Momentum is not an analytic.
If you were looking at actually what Doug Peterson has said, and there's a great New York Times article on it where he says it. He is saying that it helps me form my decisions.
Yes, that's part of it.
And that is, you know, the analytical data says you lose momentum by punting the ball away instead of going for it on fourth down. That is what I'm just going off of what Doug has said, you know, and I understand what you're saying. And it does have,
you don't have to understand it. It's just, this is how coaches coach. A lot of coaches don't have those options. They use data, whatever you want. Is it data or data?
I don't think we really care. Data, whatever.
It's okay. The mom and Goonies doesn't know either.
True. 55305. That is the fan text line. What is the old school approach to you? Dusty and Cam on the Fan.
This is Dusty and Cam in the Morning on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Don Gruden says he's taking it back to 1998 old school football. He says there's a lot of teams that have analytics, just don't know how to implement them. And so he's not even going to try and do it.
You know what my thing is when everybody uses analytics, analytics are fun to use when they work.
Yeah.
Analytics are like odds at the blackjack table. You know what? Analytics tell me I should hit on a, when a dealer's showing a five, shouldn't hit, right? But sometimes that dealer's going to flip and he's going to beat me. Mm-hmm. Okay. Analytics are not the Bible. And they are a tool that's used based on why certain things at certain times might work. But in a scenario to tell me that Doug Peterson made two analytical decisions, what he did is he went with decisions based on odds. And if they didn't work, he would be slaughtered. But because the formation was illegal, which it was illegal, it should have been a penalty, and that touchdown shouldn't have counted. We do know that. There's proof of that. That's not an analytical thing. That is a statistical choice
that he made.
Hold on. It's a statistical choice that he did, because if it doesn't work, then we slaughter him. Yeah. But if it does work, it's great. That's not analytics, man. That is a one choice, and it's this choice. Every play in football works. Every time I line up a football and I line up a play, it's designed to work. That's not an analytic. That's how the game has been played for 100 years. That's not an analytic.
Now, here's where, and I think that this can, because I agree with you on one point.
What, that blackjack, you shouldn't hit on a six?
Yes. No, the analytics part comes into the decision to go for it on fourth down. The play call is your gut. And those are two separately different things. But the decision to go for it is based on a probability and a statistical probability of how it has
They've
worked out.
They've been
going
for fourth downs for 100 years.
Not in the in situational football on the minus side of the 50 on fourth down and sixth, you usually punt that ball away. And what he's saying is the probabilities show from that hundred years that if we go for it now, we have a better probability to win the game. And that's what analytics are.
Because you have two more quarters to deal with it. You don't do it in the fourth quarter.
He did do it in the fourth
quarter. No, you don't do it in the fourth quarter. Statistics, this is always going to be an argument that when it works, it's good. When it doesn't, you don't have a better chance. Making mistakes in games, when you're down by games in football, you don't have the luxury in baseball to have nine innings. In basketball, guys come back from 20-point deficits. To have something like what happened statistically to the Patriots a year ago in Atlanta, that's a once-in-a-lifetime type thing. Those things don't happen.
Absolutely.
That's why I say, and I agree with John Gruden, is that have a fraction of it. Use some of it. Interpret it. But if you base your livelihood on it and you always use it as a go-to, it's like that one black book you pull out of your back pocket when you need it, it doesn't make sense in football. In other sports, I can get behind it.
Yeah.
In baseball, I certainly can get behind it more because it's so tactical.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of process. There's a lot of things. There's pausing. There's no clocks.
Yeah.
Football, you don't have that kind of luxury. Basketball, I can see it a little bit.
I am,
because it's so controlled. Football is not.
I'm in on analytics in football as long as you are using the data and you know how to use the data. And what Gruden is saying is, I'm going to go back because I don't know how to use it. I'm not going to use it. Doug Peterson knows how to use it. Bill Belichick knows how to use it. There are coaches that know how to use the data. And if you can, do it. Because I do believe it helps.
If I went back in a lot of different Super Bowls over time and we really broke down in detail, because we're so analytic of it now, and I use the word because we have so much more time to do it because sports radio and TV and internet, I could argue that there have been decisions in Super Bowls made that you would never make in a regular season.
And that is why.
And that is not an analytic.
Doug Peterson did it against the Giants in the regular season earlier in the year. He does it.
I'm not
in
talking
both.
About Doug Peterson. What I'm mentioning is over time in the history, when you're in that game, in a big game, in a scenario where you know you don't have it tomorrow, you're choosing to make more decisions based on chance, not an analytic.
And that's what Doug Peterson is saying, that the numbers have bared out, that it does benefit you. So he's using that analytic to the regular season, to everything that they do. So when they get to those moments in the big games, it's business as usual. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, and those are Doug Peterson's words. Those are the players' words.
I feel like this one, this is a good text. Watching film is a form of analytics. It is. You see tendencies by players in defense and offensive formations, but implementing data is somewhat a form of passing. Well, video's been around for so long. So have we been using It's a word. It's just, I think it's the word is that nerds have used it for so, now it's their favorite word. Really watching film is studying.
Yeah. Well, and is that it, is it,
it's called tendencies.
And they're just,
is it an analytic? Is it a data that you're starting to process into your mind? It's just a play on words. Different words now mean certain things. Analytics is just a hot word. It's kind of like moist. It's a word that you use.
No,
you don't like.
It is. But yeah, this is like the analytics used to be on third down. This team does tends to throw.
And no,
outside
I never
the
watched
numbers.
Film. I never ever watched film.
Outwatch the number outside the numbers on third down 57% of the time. So that, like, we always knew that. That is a form of analytics. The advanced stats are more situational. All the charts that these teams have had of, you know, you have your red zone charts and your first down, right. First and long, second and long. Well, these charts are now down to percentages of what down you should go
so
for.
So John Gruden is going to say, like this text, Ron, running offense, tough defense. That's old school.
That is old school.
Is having good defense getting you the chance to play in the playoffs? Is it having a good quality defense a better opportunity to go longer, deeper into the playoff run? Minnesota had a great defense, but they gave up a ton of points to Philly, and they gave up a lot of points in the second half to New Orleans. Is that analytic or is that just gut? They won a game versus New Orleans. They did. Is it an analytic to have a good defense? Or is it just, hey, man, we know we need to stop players. Here's what I've always learned in sports. If I play defense and I stop the other team from scoring, I can win. It's not a stat.
55305. That is the fan text line. We will have more on this in your feedback. We got some feedback coming in hot and heavy. And also, Adam Silver sends out a memo about the product in his league. How do you prove tanking? Dustin Cam on the Fan.